Hey Philip, hey San, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, how are you?
I'm good, hey.
I have not changed out of my PJs all day. I don't know about you guys. What's your clothing situation like?
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to say that like on air.
Oh,
I'm chilling. I'm at the house, like.
what about you, Philip? Are you actually dressed in outdoor clothes?
I'm dressed in, it's one of those things they say, because I'm working from home, right? It's one of those things that is happening. All these fucking articles coming out these days about, like, if you never worked from home before, like, here's how you do it. And one piece of advice I see over and over again is just to, like, dress up like you normally would when you go to
Hell
the
no, I'm not
office.
doing that.
Which,
You mean like
you know,
dressing slacks, button downs? Oh no, I'm not doing that.
for. Well, I don't know. I'm just used to wearing, like, jeans and a t-shirt or whatever. So I'm actually dressed a little bit better than usual with the button-down shirt today. I was actually going to wear a tie just for funsies.
That's some mentally ill stuff right there,
No,
Philip.
I like dressing up. I especially try to dress up when I'm not feeling well, like when I'm stressed or hungover or whatever. I feel a bit better about myself, so.
Okay. Sen, how have you been dealing with staying inside all the time?
Honestly, I was kind of like doing it already. Like these past.
Hey, same here, you know, so.
Yeah, I was already basically doing that.
If it weren't for video dates, which I'll talk about later, I honestly see no reason for me to change out of my PJs, if I'm being
Yeah, but even
honest.
for a video date, you could just wear like a really nice,
Wait,
shirt,
what? You're
and
going
you
on a
could
video
be.
date? What?
Yeah, that's a hot new thing, Sen.
Wow.
That's what all the hip people are doing these
Okay,
days,
so that's something that I'm worried about, that I'm like kind of concerned right now too, is that like, should I see people? Like, I don't know about
In
video.
real life, you mean?
Yeah, like, could we still have hookups? Like, there needs to be like a hookup guideline, like, you know?
I guess if you've both been tested, which in
Which is
America
not
means you're a
likely.
professional athlete or an actor. So,
Right.
yeah, okay, that's. But yeah, I don't think hookups are advisable right now.
Damn.
You've heard of that freaked out, really?
I heard sex toys are flying off the shelves now. And
Makes
you know
sense.
how there are some of those kind of like fringe toys that are remote, where I mean you have like remote vibrators and all that.
Oh, you mean like what they have a name for it. It's called like
Something
teledildonics.
like that. There's like an accelerometer that you can like put on around your waist or something to simulate like thrusting. I don't know. I think these exist, and I think they're more of joke, like a joke novelty item, but they'll probably be used for real now, because unless you live in the same building, everyone's in a long distance relationship now.
Yeah, isn't that basically it? It's just more long distance relationships for the most part. So if these things like these sex toys exist already for LTRs, then
Right.
you still have them
But
now.
I'm guessing for LTRs, I don't know how many people were using them, but I think now, because as I said, everyone is kind of in one now, and people are still gonna wanna hook up. I mean, like phone sex can only go so far, right? So
Yeah, I don't see it for that. Honestly, I sent so the guy that I'm talking to, I sent him like this thing. You can get it on Amazon. It's a kit basically, and it's called Clona Willy. You basically like him basically makes a s
Clone a lily.
clone a willy. Basically, it makes like a silicone mold of your dick. So I sent that to the guy that I'm talking to, and I was just like, "Here, take this and send it back to me. Send what you get back to me." Because honestly.
Oh, so it's like you guys remember those old toys from back when we were kids? They were like Dr. Insano's lab or something, and there were these molds, and you inject this like disgusting jelly in it and you eat it. I think you're supposed to it was supposed to make candy. I guess it's something
Yeah,
like
it's
that,
basically like that.
equivalent.
Yeah. And you can make yours like glow in the dark.
Interesting.
It's really cool.
And you'll never lose
Interesting.
it. I hope he actually does it.
Escape from Plan A.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is another episode of Escape from Plan A. I am your host, Chris, formerly known as Oxford. I think I'm still going to say that. And I'm joined here tonight by Philip. Hey, what's up, Philip?
Hey, Chris. I think this is the first time I'm calling you Chris on the pod. So how you doing?
Yeah, I think you're going to slip up and call me Ox. So,
but I'll probably do it. It's fine.
Yeah. And a returning guest, Sen. Hey, Sen.
Hey. What's up, guys?
And for listeners who did not catch the episode that Sen was on previously, it was episode number 78.
Yes.
It was called, I think, AAPI Trans Women. Sen was on it, same with Nia. And it's a great episode. So, wow, that was 78 when we were still in the double digits. But everyone should check that episode out.
Welcome back.
Yay, thank you. It's good to be back.
And we announced this on Twitter a few days ago, but since we're all in, you know, bunker mode because of the coronavirus, we decided that our bonus episodes, which had previously been only accessible to our patrons, are now, we're just going to release them to the public because, hey, we're all indoors and there's only so much, you know, Hulu and whatever that we can do. So, you know, we're all looking for things to do and we're hoping we can play a small part by releasing these episodes. So from now on until, you know, when this whole pandemic is brought under control, there will be no distinction between the free and bonus episodes. Both will be released freely. So this is the first of those episodes. And I know we've been talking about some really heavy shit recently. I mean, our last pod was about fighting, basically. We thought, and believe me, we'll talk plenty about that because there's so much horrible shit going on right now, especially against Asians. But we thought let's take a little break from that and just talk about how we are spending our days these days, just kind of like cooped up in our places. So, Philip, why don't you tell us what you've been up to up there in Toronto?
Yeah, so I guess there's a couple of things happening, right? One is that I'm my work has put out the official, this is like a week ago, right? But the official work from home order to the entire company. And so I've been kind of like half cooped up at home. I've been occasionally breaking like the quarantine and heading to the office because I had to pick up my monitor at one point, but mostly working from home, which for me isn't new. Like this startup, you know, that I've started like 4 years ago or so, like for the first whole bunch of like two or three years, I was really working from home or working from coffee shops or, you know, co-working spaces remotely for my team in New York for the longest time. So that's not new to me. And like in my previous jobs, I've done a lot of remote work from like California office or London office or even an office in China or whatever. So that's not new. But what is new is being home, you know, more often, like over the weekend and stuff, and just try not to go out as much because of this whole new fun trend of, what do they call it? Social distancing.
Yeah, that's the word of the year.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, doing that. And I think a lot of folks here in Toronto, especially now that we have a state of emergency as of a day ago in Ontario, and like all the bars and restaurants are shut down here in Toronto, I think much like in New York, you know, people are just really sick at home because there's just less to do. And also it's probably the right thing to do. You probably don't want to be out there if there's, you know, random risk of, you know, infection. Every once in a while you see an article go by about how like so-and-so got off a flight from Italy or whatever, and they had, they were tested positive, but before they were tested, you know, they were riding through like all the commuter trains and the subways and whatever. So, I guess there's that risk, but I'm personally, and we can get into this later, but I'm personally not as hysterical about this whole thing. So for me, like, you know, a lot of what has changed is because other things are closing down, like restaurants aren't open in the same way, bars aren't open. You know, I had a concert I was going to tomorrow that has been canceled, so that's not happening. So stuff like that.
Oh, which concert was it?
I was going to go see Caribou at, I think, the Danforth Music Hall. It's a popular music venue in Toronto. Caribou's it's very CanCon. It's a Canadian electronic music band, formerly known as Manitoba. That's quite popular here.
Okay.
Yeah, very popular in Canada, like three shows all canceled, but not so well known in the US. So anyway.
I see. I'll check them out. Sen, how's it been over in Queens?
Yeah, like I was saying before, like it's just been the same. Like I've been this way for a couple months now, like because I'm like unemployed I'm unemployed. I was unemployed before this started, and I'm unemployed now. So nothing has really changed. I've just been like, I've been trying to like learn how to code. I found like a GitHub of like really good just resources on all different programming languages. And then I'm reading like antiviral books, which is really weird. Like I feel like I'm on this like fringe side of Twitter that's like all conspiracy theorists, and they're basically like linking like herbal, like it's very like Dr. Sebi kind of type of shit. Like they'll tell you like if you take a teaspoon of turmeric every day, you won't get the virus. I don't know. Like, okay. I just want to read just in case, you know, there's some truth to this. And I have turmeric at home, so I don't know. I'm like interested in all that.
Yeah, I mean, I have turmeric too. I used it to make butter chicken.
Yeah.
The other night, but maybe I should eat it directly.
Oh man, I know. I'm not so sure if I'm down with the whole turmeric trend that's been going on. I've been watching the new Ugly Delicious season 2 with David Chang.
Oh shit, yeah, I should get on that. Speaking of Ugly Delicious, Philip, you can talk about that. I also want to know what you guys have been watching to pass the time. So Philip, why don't you talk about Ugly Delicious
2? Yeah, season 2's out. I think here on Planet we were big fans of season 1, just because he does a good job of tying, you know, politics and culture to food in a way that most food shows like just don't even think about in any way whatsoever. And he's kind of in full force in this new season. I've only seen the first two episodes. I thought the second episode about India and Indian food was super cool, because I've always, in the last like, you know, 2 years of being much more obsessed with food, felt like Indian food is, and South Asian food in general, has been kind of like misunderstood or not understood or not popularized in the same way that East and Southeast Asian food has been doing well.
I feel like Indian food has plateaued at a certain level where it's like everyone likes it, but it doesn't seem to particularly fascinate people the same way, like say Chinese or Japanese or even Korean. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and he tries to get into that, right? I mean, my personal theory is that it just doesn't Instagram well, honestly, right? Like a curry just doesn't photograph well. Right, like you know, Vietnamese food, for example, right, is like super beautiful, right? It's a lot of herbs, a lot of colors, right? A lot of interesting things going on, but with curries, not so much. And so, you know, people are super fucking basic, right? They'll eat whatever whoever they're following is eating, and so you don't get the same viral, you know, interest in it. So anyway, I don't want to get too deep into it, but the season's been good. Next episode's on steak, which I'm pretty interested in. But it's a good show. But in the India episode, he talks about the turmeric like hype, right? And there's this montage they do. It's quite funny, of like a bunch of people, like white people mostly, like consuming turmeric products. And one short clip of it was like this woman, I think, brushing her teeth with like turmeric toothpaste, and it's all yellow in her teeth. It just looks really bad. I don't know. Anyways, you should watch it and then get back to me on how you feel about turmeric. That's all I'm saying.
So does the toothpaste smell like turmeric?
I don't know. It's a video. I don't know.
Think
I have
that's
no clue.
A smell. Wait, you
I would not
like
use turmeric as a toothpaste,
you know?
Though, because that would just dye your teeth. It would just make it yellow.
Yeah, right? Like, that's it's crazy. So anyway, you should watch it. It's on Netflix. You should watch it. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Sen, what are you watching? Well, or are you watching?
So
anything?
I just finished watching Kingdom, which was,
Oh, I heard that's
really
good.
It was good. I mean, I could see why people, like at first when I saw people were comparing it to Game of Thrones, I was like, I don't know, that's kind of basic. But now I kind of see it, because like, I feel like season 2 was kind of like, it was just a lot of build up. I don't know. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but.
Don't spoil it. I watched season 1. I love season 1. Please don't spoil it.
Okay, I won't. I'm sorry. And then I'm also
But you enjoyed it. You said you thought it was good.
It was good, I guess. Yeah. I'm really excited for the next season, so I guess that means something. I'm also watching Westworld.
Oh yeah, I think you tweeted about that.
Yeah, but I wish like HBO would have just like released the whole season like at once. I don't know why they're bothering to do this whole like, who even does that anymore? Who like releases episodes weekly?
Yeah, especially these days, like you know, people might be, you know, killing each other in like 3 days. So get it all
right out
now.
This is your last chance to get the views and the clicks.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching Giri Haji on Netflix. That's the BBC show about like a Japanese detective who's caught in this Yakuza gang war, and he has to find his brother, who's kind of responsible for it, who's run away to London. It's a really good show. I'm not really into gangster movies and stuff like that, but between this and Sleeping Dogs, which I've been playing a lot on the computer, Philip, you and I and Mark are playing the pod about this. So if listeners, if you're a fan of Sleeping Dogs, that's something you have to look forward to. I just have to finish the game first before we pod about it. But between these two, I just want to be an Asian gangster right now because they just make the thing look so cool. And what I really like about the show is actually really funny in a kind of like natural deadpan way.
Oh, really? It looks super serious. It doesn't look funny at all.
It's very broody. It's very violent.
Okay.
But I think the characters are created so well that just like these little moments they have where one of them might do something kind of silly, it's just really funny, I find. And then there's this one character, Rodney, who's this gay male prostitute. Oh, he's such a good character. He just has the best lines, and it's just, yeah, you just want to...
Wait, is this like an anime or it's live action?
No, it's live action.
Oh, okay.
But actually, interestingly, in the beginning when they do the recaps, they do it in this kind of comic book...
Oh, cool.
Anime-ish style, which I find
stylish,
very
nice. Is
very
this a
cool.
Netflix original? Looks like it is.
Well, I think they claimed it, but I think it was made independently by the BBC.
Oh, I see a BBC video.
And then
too,
I think Netflix imported it. I mean, they claim it's an original. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but I don't think they had much to do with it. Whatever. But
is there a Korean version of like the Yakuza? Because I know like Chinese people, they have like the triads.
I'm sure there is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's gangsters in it everywhere. I bet if you go to the Mennonites, they'll have their own organized crime syndicate. But I don't know I guess that's kind of embarrassing. I should probably know, but I don't know the exact name. But definitely Korea has organized crime for sure.
Okay, yeah. Good to know.
So anyway, we were talking about a video chat dating. So I went on it and I had a thought that, hey, what if this is the future? This could be the new normal. Because I think it does solve a couple of fundamental gender conflicts. One is that women are worried of being used for sex on a first date, and men are worried about being used for, you know, paying whatever it is they do or eat on a first date. But this kind of solves both issues. And I mean, it raises a bunch of other issues. For instance, I mean, I live with my brother, so, you know, it is a little weird. And we live in a relatively small apartment with thin walls, so he can easily hear everything I'm saying here. And imagine how annoying that would get if your roommate, you could hear them going on dates again and again, probably telling the same stories, probably. You know, everyone kind of has their, like, dating persona, first date persona. That'd be kind of weird for everyone in your apartment to know. And what if you live in a kind of like an ugly room that doesn't look good through a cheap webcam, makes you look like a you know, kid living in your mom's basement? That's not a very alluring aesthetic. Philip, you were mentioning this whole thing that happens usually when you're video conferencing on business, like, hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're cutting out. You're breaking up. This is the last 10 seconds. What did you say? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What a mood killer, right?
Exactly. But is that part of the reality? Like, did it go smoothly? How did it go?
I think it went well. You know, I'm still talking to them, so okay. It is interesting.
Wait, but what did you guys do? Like, did you guys just like talk? It was just a conversation over video.
Yeah, it's just like a normal, it's as if we were sitting across from each other at a table at a bar and just talking.
Oh, like each of you were having drinks on your like own end? Like, is it like a mukbang where you guys just like eat for one another?
Yeah, I had my mug of wine.
Oh my God.
I was drinking that.
It shows that you've got some sophistication, but you're also kind of chill because you're drinking from a mug.
Well, I only have mugs anyway, because mugs are very versatile, you know?
Yeah, I got the handle there, you know? Makes sense.
Yeah, the hot, cold, whatever, it can handle it. But see, there's this weird mix of intimacy and distance, because like the distance, obviously, you're literally very distant from each other. You know, you can't like touch or whatever. Yet, you're also, you know, you can give them a tour of your apartment if you want.
Show off,
which is not something that happens, you know, within minutes of meeting someone. So yeah, it's a brave new world out there.
It is. I can see people getting pretty creative with it too, right? I don't know. I'm guessing you like maybe met this person on like Hinge or Tinder or something, and then you like shared your handle for FaceTime. Like, I'm sure it's pretty informal, right? It's not like built into the app in any way.
Well, FaceTime, you just need their number. Yeah. So you would get their number anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I can imagine there being an app where they like try to put some kind of format around dating. So there's like trivia or games, like icebreakers, basically, to make it less awkward, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can see that. That can totally be super cool. You know,
I'm sure forward. Some Silicon Valley like startup that's been trying to do something new in the dating app market is probably coming up with something like that. Maybe they can create like background so it looks like you're actually at some fancy restaurant instead of your dingy room with an overhead fluorescent light.
That's right.
I'm sure they're doing that.
I had this one guy who he was like more towards like the Gen Z like age range. Mm-hmm. And he basically, like, we, like, shared our desktops with one another, and we, like, played, like, PC games. So I think
that's cool.
Does that count? Yeah, I think that counts as, like, a video chat date.
Oh, that's fun. So, yeah. Wait. So you played, like, a co-op game together?
Yeah, we played, like, a multiplayer game together, and it was, like, it involved voices. Like, it was a role-playing game, so... It was just like it was.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I was like, wow, only a Gen Z guy would like have this as an idea.
Yeah,
I know. I feel like millennials have a lot of nostalgia for gaming and stuff, right? So if you're seeing someone who's into that, right? But just in general, like this is an icebreaker. I can see, you know, a company designing games for video dating that like makes sense for learning the other person's personality or like. You know, just getting to know them or, you know, that kind of exploring your relationship, like that kind of thing. It totally makes sense. It's just funny. It took like a crazy pandemic for it to start to become a thing. Chris, did you hear about this Love is Blinding quarantine thing?
Well, I've heard of the show.
Love is Blind, right?
Yeah. So what's this about?
So we'll share this in the show notes, but I shared an article in our notes here. There's this person, I don't know if it's on Twitter or Instagram or something, who like decided just because they're in quarantine, they're bored. They're like, I'm gonna do a blind dating thing where I'm gonna set up a spreadsheet and random people on the internet, presumably from the same city, can like sign up for it. And I'll match you up and I'll give you like a time to call each other or FaceTime each other. And then you guys can just have a blind date, but it's arranged through like a spreadsheet. Right. And I guess it blew up because the New York Times wrote an article about it just like earlier today.
So is that person working like a matchmaker and putting thought into matching people up, or is it totally randomized?
I think it's just a random person on Twitter. I don't think there's thought into it. Right. But yeah, again, you can imagine that, like, you know, if you did run this like a service, right, it could make a lot of sense if you actually got to know the person's profile before matching them up too. But they were just doing it for fun and it blew up because everyone's like, that's the crazy thing right now. It's like everyone's doing the same fucking thing. Like we're in our rooms, right? We're like, you know, reading about the news, like in the news about coronavirus, but also like texting people and like trying to kill time, right? And so wacky things are going to happen because at the same time as us killing time, we're all on the internet. So this is just one funny thing that came out of it.
I'm really excited for that energy. Like I'm really excited for everybody to be just like unhinged.
But that energy... is a very dangerous energy. Ooh. You know, that I don't, I'm always worried about what weirdness online really? will be created with all this pent up.
I'm excited.
Let's be real. Everyone's basically forced to be an incel now, you know? And I'm not saying that everyone's going to become angry and stuff, but people have this like energy in them and it's going to have to come out in some ways. And I think it can come out in wonderful ways. I think some probably people are going to have to get creative, you know, being cooped up and having to, you know, let out their social, creative, all these
things. Exactly, Chris. I already know exactly how it's going to come out.
Oh no.
There's no like, I don't even know why you're thinking it's going to be some kind of magical, you know, emergent thing that happens, right? I think what exactly is going to happen is that the virus will end at some point, and then like a month later, everyone's going to be writing articles about like all the wacky stuff that happened during the quarantine. And then Pornhub is going to come up with one of their infographics about how traffic just spiked during the quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's your answer. Everyone's just fucking masturbating.
Yo, could you imagine the explosion of like libido that will happen on the day that we're all like released from our cells here? It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be both probably beautiful and disgusting at the same time.
That's why all this video dating is happening, right? This is part of that. Life, what is it? Life Finds a Way.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Ian Malcolm. Yeah.
That's right.
There were some tweets I read, which somebody said, yeah, dating's essentially gone back to the times of Jane Austen, in which you see, you talk to people for like months and months, and then you meet up and you might like kiss them on the cheek or something. I thought that was a funny observation. One other observation I had was, so this is going to be very challenging for extroverts. How do you guys identify as introverts or extroverts?
I think I'm introverted.
What about you, Philip?
I mean, I'm like, you know,
don't say both. You got to pick one. No, I hate people who hedge.
I'm supposed to be an introvert, but the thing is, like, here's the thing is that I've been breaking quarantine like in the last week or so. Either from work, I'll like go to the office, or at home, I'll like find a way to go outside, go for a bike ride or whatever. But it's not to see more people, right? It's just to like be outdoors. So I'm kind of like an introvert who likes to be alone outdoors. Like go for a...
Yeah, that's basically an introvert who likes fresh air. That's
yeah, it's basically what it is. But it's, I'm saying like introversion is like, you know, it's about social interaction. It's not about whether or not you're just like being cooped up, right? It's a completely different thing.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely identify as an introvert as well, which is probably why I've been thoroughly enjoying most of this. I mean, the except, you know, all the attacks on Asians and you know, ponderings about whether all our dreams are destroyed. That notwithstanding, I've been enjoying this time immensely. I'm reading a lot, playing games, you know, writing, all the stuff that I really enjoyed doing. But one thought I had was, it must be very challenging for the extroverts. It must be really it's kind of their nightmare scenario.
No, but I think they'll find ways to find outlets for it, right? Like, I don't know if like for extroverts, like texting people is a small release of that energy or whatever, a collection of that energy.
I think it has to be, I mean, I'm sure it helps, but I think you gotta be like, you gotta feel that like body heat, you know?
Yeah.
Be in the same room kind of thing. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. But I was also thinking that, you know how it's kind of become cool in the last, say, decade or so to be an introvert?
Yeah, because of Susan Cain, right?
Well, that too, but I think especially like online, in which, you know, it is kind of a design for introverts, and I think it rewards like an introvert's mindset. For example, if you're really good at writing and expressing yourself, you know, verbally or whatever, that it empowers those people. Like you could be like the best gabber, you know, be real smooth, but it's kind of hard to translate that into the online world. So I think especially on social media, people kind of tend to lie about being introverts, and I was like, aha, all you people, now all you posers are gonna get exposed now, because you're gonna go crazy and we're gonna find your roommate in a store chopped up in a closet somewhere. So
I saw you make that tweet. I kind of agree. Actually, do you know the last time I had a strong reminder that I was an introvert was actually when I hung out with you in New York, Chris, a few months ago. I think we recorded that Frankly in Love podcast, which is great. And then immediately after, we got on a phone call with CS and we recorded that Xenophobia for non-Chinese people podcast. And it was like 3 hours of straight talking. And I think your brother was there, so I was chatting with him for a bit too. And then when I took the train back to Brooklyn where I was staying, I was just like about to just fall asleep standing up. Like I was just destroyed. by just three hours of nonstop talking. Not that I don't enjoy your company. It's just like, you know, I think for introverts, the point is that if you talk to people, you're just like around people and just chatting and using your brain in that way for too long, it just exhausts you.
Mm-hmm. What's your guys' food situation? Like, have you stocked up a lot? Sen, what's your situation?
No, I haven't really stocked up on anything. Like, I know people are getting toilet paper and stuff. If anything, like, I'm trying to switch to like I want to get a bidet for my bathroom.
We all should.
Off the hook.
I know.
You don't even need to do any replumbing. You know, in Asia, they sell those like toilet seats that have all sorts of
My friend just recommended me one that's like $30, and it's just like an attachment to your...
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
How much does like a big package of toilet paper cost? Like $30 almost, right?
Yeah.
In these days,
So I don't know. I haven't really been stocking up. Like, also, like, my family kind of, like, controls all that. And they don't really feel the need to do it either. So, I don't know.
They've avoided the hysteria.
Yeah, kind of. But there's also a lot of people, I feel like, that can't even afford to, like, I think it would be really financially stressful if we, like, bought, like, I don't know, like, a month's worth of food or something. So, I think that's another part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of disturbing to me because I'm just thinking about, I didn't stock up. I've been watching, you know, news about people going crazy at the grocery stores, but I'm just thinking about like all the food waste is going to happen, right? Because it's not just non-perishable, but a lot of perishable foods being snapped up. And I don't know if people are actually going to eat, like freeze it or eat it or whatever. So
yeah, people are not looking for they're not like going for the canned foods. Like I just went to the grocery store the other day, like just for, I just wanted to get like some snacks. And like there was a lot of people, like a lot more than usual. And people were like yelling like, oh my God, there's no steaks or whatever. And yeah.
Gotta have your steaks during the apocalypse is really important. Yeah, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. So I do half my shopping in Chinatown and things are fine there, right? And I think that's the other, like there's these waves and waves of, you know, posts on Twitter online and so on of like these empty shelves and whatever in like Whole Foods. But to contest that, if you're on Asian Twitter, right, there's all these posts of like all these Korean grocery stores or Chinese grocery stores that are perfectly well stocked and not like frenetically packed with white people, right? Because you know they're afraid, right? They don't want to go where they think the virus is. And so I've been out to one or two, you know, Chinatown grocery stores, and they're fine. They're perfectly fucking fine, and everything's, you know, more affordable there and stuff. So I haven't been stressing that myself. But most of my friends are also not, you know, going out and just like packing their shelves, buying all the TP and stuff. I think the people who are actually affected by this are the people who like didn't buy toilet paper for a while and just happened to run out right before the crisis, and now they're trying to get some. So I've offered to like bike around Toronto to give some of my extra TP to some friends who need it.
Oh wow, you're like the TP man.
Yeah.
No, I just happened to have bought some like the weekend before everybody went batshit. Like it's not like I was, you know, preparing or hoarding or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's crazy. The whole thing's kind of insane.
Yeah. I haven't stocked up too much, although I have like maybe about 20, 25 pounds of rice between the two.
That's a lot of rice.
Two of us. I figure that's, you know, that's going to last for, you know, even if this thing ends, it doesn't hurt to have that. And it's always something basic. Here's a very dark thought I've had, though. You guys ever seen Grave of the Fireflies?
Yeah.
I have not.
Wait, that...
Yeah,
I don't really remember it, but it was super depressing, right?
Yeah, me neither. I don't remember it much except for certain scenes. And I remember certain scenes where, like, the family, and then after the little boy and girl leave the mean aunt, like, when the bag of rice gets emptier and emptier with no hope of refilling it. Obviously, we're not in that situation, but now that we're in a situation where it's not normal, as I keep seeing that bag of rice get smaller and smaller, I'm just like, it kind of weighs on your mind, like, should we be rationing this more? Are we eating too much? You know, so yeah, that's not a pleasant thought to have.
Man, I've been hearing about people who are like gaining weight during the quarantine and people who are losing weight during the quarantine. So but,
no, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I obviously don't go to the gym anymore, and I can, you know, my brother's a pull-up bar over his door, so I use that. I can do push-ups. Not that I did a lot of cardio anyway, but I hate jogging. I don't want to do jogging. I used to go to the gym and do this like high intensity interval training on the bike. But now the only thing you can do is jog. And like, don't want to jog.
Burpees, man. Burpees are supposed to be like the, you know, low space maximum, I don't know, maximum like cardio and strength training workout that you can do in one spot, apparently.
Oh, so, really?
Do you ever watch the movie The Inside Man?
I've seen The Insider. Who's in The Inside Man?
I don't remember. Is Clive Owen one of the people? The Inside Man. Anyway, for people who don't want a spoiler, tune out the next 20 seconds. But there's a scene, basically, like, they're doing a heist, and their trick is that they, like, hide a guy inside a bank in a false wall. And the guy's, like, hidden inside the bank for, like, a week because they're waiting for, like, all the crazy, like, you know, heat to die down. And he's living inside this like tiny, like, you know, 3 foot by 6 foot room for a week before coming out and stealing shit. And he's like, it shows him what a bit of what he's doing there. And he's like, you know, one of the things he does is he's like doing push-ups all the time, just like trying to keep sane because you're inside a fucking tiny ass room,
huh?
Right, for like a week.
How does he go to the bathroom?
Well, I guess he poops in a, you know, a bag or I don't know.
No.
Something, they don't show that part, but you gotta do something, right? But anyway,
won't,
this whole
won't
this,
people
this whole,
be able to like detect that?
It?
Yeah, unless the,
maybe
the
he's
walls
got like
they,
he has it all planned out, so I'm sure he's got like a stench-proof bag or something like that. I don't know. But like it does make you think, like, yeah, you had to do shit to keep yourself sane when you're, you know, quarantine. We're not in a full quarantine and we're not in solitary confinement, but what's interesting is that everyone's getting a little taste of solitary.
Yeah, I do wonder how, because I used to live in a studio before I moved in with my brother. I do wonder how it would be if I still live there. Yeah, I think I'd mostly be okay, but it does help to be with someone else, I think. Even if you might not even see them for most of the time if you're in your rooms, but hey, you know, like, and you also have that security. If anything happened to you, like you happen to slip in the shower or whatever, there's someone else there. Or if you locked yourself out, someone's there. Yeah.
I think it's different now. I think because you're online, it's different. Like one thing that's definitely been true for me during the last week and a bit of quarantine, or even not quarantine, just from COVID, is all my like group chats are just popping off like all the fucking time. I'm in a whole bunch of group chats on WhatsApp with various friends groups, and some of them are like in different groups too, but there's like different themes. So like I have a group of just guy friends. There was like the sports group, so we talk about hockey, you know, football, whatever. But now it's just, we changed the name to "This is the End" because it's just become like 100% like COVID-19 chat and basically nothing else because all sports are canceled.
Yeah, that's Sen, are you into sports?
No, but I follow this one socialist guy on Twitter that like is super into like all kinds of sports, and that, so I get like basically all of my sports news from this one person, and
from this one guy.
Yeah, and I know that like they canceled the NBA because like the NBA season, because like Rudy, I don't know, I forgot his last name, but that like French basketball player,
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, they canceled it because he like gave a bunch of ball players the virus. Like, I saw that.
Well, he wasn't right. The only one. Kevin Durant recently also tested positive.
Yeah,
there are a lot
crazy.
Of players having it, and every sports league has canceled. But yeah, he was, I think, the first major athlete in the U.S. To test positive.
Yeah, people hated him that first week.
Yeah. But yeah, all these sports are canceled. It's so weird. I mean, I'm kind of happy. I'm actually really happy that the Premier League got canceled because Tottenham Hotspur were doing so badly. But then,
yeah, everyone is kind of like happy or sad depending on how their team's doing, right?
I think everyone except, okay, Liverpool. I heard Liverpool. I promise we'll stop talking about soccer real soon. But Liverpool,
promise me too, because I'm not a huge fan either. But go on.
Okay, so Liverpool was like a billion points ahead of the next team, second place, which was actually Leicester City, I think, last time I checked. But I think UEFA said no. You know, if the season's canceled, the season will basically be canceled. There will be no winner, which I think is really unfair. I have no love for Liverpool, but they were so far ahead. They were like one or two wins away from clinching it already in March, which might have been a record. So I think that's very unfair. But the bigger news is Tottenham Hotspur's horrible season gets canceled. Son Heung-min's injury is basically nulled out because, you know, it's not like he...
That's right.
If he missed this canceled season, it doesn't really matter. I'd stopped watching anyway because it was getting too depressing how bad their season was ending. So that, but yeah, there's just like this whole void. No movies, no sports.
That's right.
You know, yeah, people are like, yeah, Netflix party. I don't know how long that's really going to last. I think people are probably going to get sick of it after about a week.
Yeah, I've seen tweets of people being like, give me anything to watch at this point. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So.
Like, it might, there might be people who watch literally everything on Netflix. And they'll be like, oh, man, I've watched
there's a lot of garbage on there. I don't know.
Even like Christmas Prince 6 or something. I don't know.
I watched that over Christmas this year because, yeah, it was bad. But... there's a lot of garbage. I'm impressed by people who are trying to be productive during this time. Like I said, I'm impressed you're learning to code during this time. Like, that's really awesome. I was listening to the radio about a kid who, like, some, like, I don't know, 12-year-old kid who's, like, learning guitar during the quarantine. And, like, I'm like, I should, like, fix my guitar and, like, get back on it because it's a perfectly good time to do it. So,
yeah.
And, like, trying to read more books and stuff, right? Like, productive stuff. But I find that, like, for me, this is true, and I'm sure it's true for most people, is that they have all this free time, but they're just squandering it by, like, constantly reading about coronavirus, right? Because it's saturated all the airwaves and our brain waves.
Although at this point, there's really, I guess the only real new stuff, which is not even that new, is all the shit Trump is saying. But as I promised, this episode is trying to be positive, so we'll leave all that for another episode. But definitely, I was already trying to write more anyway before this, so that's not really new. I do want to improve my Korean. That's something I want to do with this time. I was already trying to read more anyway. What you guys reading?
Well, as you know, I'm reading a whole bunch of Asian American YA and other books because we're going to do a pod on a bunch of books soon. So I just finished Patron Saints of Nothing.
I'm about a third of the way through. It's starting to get good. Like the first 100 pages, I was like, okay, whatever. But now it's starting to get more exciting.
Yeah. And then I have a couple other books here. There's the two Mary G. Lee books, Finding My Voice and If It Hadn't Been for Yoon Jun, which I ordered off like some rando like Amazon third party reseller that finally arrived after a few weeks. So doing those two next. So getting through all that content. And then I have this book here that I bought too called The Power by Naomi Alderman. It's been pretty popular in like the kind of like online feminist circles recently. It's about this kind of fictional future or world where women have this power to like shock men with like electric well, I don't know if it's men specifically, but they can defend themselves with like an electric shock.
Wait, so they're like Storm and they can like shoot lightning from their hands?
They're not shooting lightning, but they can shock a man if like they touch them, right? So it's basically inverting the power kind of dynamic, right? The physical power dynamic between men and women and talking about what the world would look like if that was the case. Supposed to be super excellent. I haven't started yet, but it's my list.
What about you, Sen? You mentioned some book already. What was it again?
Okay, well, I am reading this book called Herbal Antivirals. It's basically like a book that like
that one.
But I just started this book called Indistractable. I don't know if you know this author, but I think he's like really big in the tech world. He wrote the book called Hooked, which was a book about like how to so I'm reading his other book, which is called Indistractable. Because I feel like, I don't know, it's going to help me with my ADHD or something. I'm like, I just started it, so I don't know how good it is at that, but...
Did you read Hooked?
No, I started both of them recently, and I think I'm going to try to finish Indistractable first. But I definitely want to read Hooked.
Okay. Are you a big nonfiction fan?
Am I a big nonfiction fan? Not really, like, not more than fiction, but...
I find it difficult. I mean, like, on paper, nonfiction seems great to me because, like, I like learning stuff by reading. But I always just, like, you know, my eyes glaze over, I fall asleep for most of them. And then fiction books, on one hand, I'm like, oh, this is a story. It seems like a waste of time. But, you know, a good fiction book will, like, outblaze through it, you know, in a week.
See, I never understood that mentality where people say, I don't want to read fiction because it's all made up. But... it's not like those people only watch documentaries. I'm sure they watch
that's right, right?
Star Wars.
It's weird.
And
I get way more enjoyment out of reading fiction.
And fiction is often, you learn about a lot about like the writer's psychology and thus about human psychology in general. And so it's very educational, even if the things in the book didn't happen. So I'm always puzzled by people with that attitude. And I think it's just general like disdain for reading. People see it as very functional. It's like for every page I get, I better learn x number of facts or else it's a waste of time, because they see it like a chore as opposed to enjoyment.
It's just another symptom of like capitalism. Like, we just always have to feel like we're being productive at all times.
That's a big part of what it is, right? Because reading a book is it takes a lot of time. right? And especially even with it's kind of fucked up, like my mentality around nonfiction books is like sometimes I don't want to even read the book, right? If it's a book like Hooked or something, I just want to like read a fucking like cold notes, like a abbreviation. Just give me like the top 10, like, you know, actionable, like, yeah, you know, tactics or whatever, right? So I can improve my life. Like that's kind of the appetite we've developed around these books, especially these kind of self-helpy kind of books too, I think. You know, but if you actually read it, there's actually a lot more psychology and depth to it, right?
There's this movie I love. It's called Metropolitan. There's this great scene where the main character and this the woman, they're all like college freshmen coming home from for winter vacation, and they're having a debate about Jane Austen. She really loves him and he doesn't, and he's like, and they're talking about Mansfield Park. And then he's like giving all these criticism, and she asks him like about like when he read the book, and he's like, oh, I haven't read it. And his reasoning is he only reads the literary criticism because that's like a 2-for-1 deal. You get the criticism and the actual story.
That's right.
And he says it in a very deadpan way. It's very funny.
Reading for clout, totally serious, right?
Yeah. But I'm reading like with you, Philip, Patron Saints of Nothing, because we're going to do that pod. I'm also reading Sons and Lovers by D.H. Lawrence. You guys know who D.H. Lawrence is? Famous English author.
That's funny. I was about to use a D.H. Lawrence book I have in my apartment as a monitor stand for my monitor. But instead, I opted for this book I have called Impressionism in Canada, because it's a thicker book, so it's higher.
Oh, God. That sounds like the most boring book of all time.
Oh, it's a book of paintings. It's actually like, I mean, it's not like a it's a coffee table book of paintings. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, I use my law textbooks I still have as a computer monitor razor, but
yeah.
Actually, this book, Sons and Lovers, I got it at like one of those $1 used book stands at a bookstore. And I decided to pick it up. Even though it's an older book, it's actually quite readable. It feels modern, and it's all about like this relationship between mothers and sons as the sons are growing up, and you know, I kind of dig that. So I'm almost finished it. So I'm deciding what to read next. I might read Pachinko or No Boy. That's next on my list.
Very nice.
Or this for nonfiction, I might read Economics by Ha-Jun Chang, which I bought a while ago. Should go into that. Seems very relevant now with all this economic catastrophes happening every day.
What is it called?
Oh, just called Economics. By this famous Korean economist named Ha-Jun Chang. I think it's just a kind of like an economics 101 type of book, but I'm a total dumbass when it comes to economics, so I should read up on it. What else to talk about? Do you guys think Trump has coronavirus?
I don't really know. I feel like we all
tested.
Do you feel like
he tested negative?
Wait,
right?
But do you guys low key feel like you have it? Like, I feel like I low key already have it. Like, because I read somewhere that like most young people are already carriers. Because like,
I think I have it. I've been in close contact with someone,
right,
who I recently found out almost certainly has it. And I did experience a bit of a sore throat from Friday to Monday. It's gone now. But I'm perfectly fine now, so it seems like I'm like almost asymptomatic, which is nice. And I think I still have a week before I'm in the clear. But I do think I must have it just because, you know, I was with this person. So
isn't that like the craziest fucking thing? In my mind, like one of the craziest things about this whole phenomenon is like a whole bunch of people are gonna just like have regular symptoms of like other illnesses, or like maybe it's dusty in their apartment that week and they're sneezing a lot and they're like, fuck, I have coronavirus. Like, that's happening everywhere around the fucking planet right now. Isn't that crazy? Right? Yeah. And I'm not, sorry, like, Chris, I'm not downplaying. Like, if you're feeling ill, you know, I'm sure you know what to do in terms of like figuring out the proper protocol in New York City to like get tested if you get to that point, right? What to look out for. But at the same time, I've come across a lot of people who are feeling like just, you know, just anxious and nervous. Like, I got nervous about it just last week because I was traveling a bunch to the States actually at a bad time, and had some like random symptoms where I'm, you know, the thought had definitely crossed my mind.
But that's good. We need more of that. Have you seen those videos of those dumb fucks down in Florida celebrating like spring break?
Oh, man.
Going under so booze cruises. Yeah, I was saying
St. Patty's Day this past weekend. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like those boats, like basically like floating cesspools. And I was honestly thinking, like, you know, if Trump ordered those boats torpedoed, I might have to think about voting for him. You know, it's like, yeah, we need to set an example. And this is just, and it just makes me feel like somewhere out there is going to be this like perfectly nice elderly person who's gonna die because of this. And if we had to sacrifice some frat bro from, you know, University of Miami, Ohio, and like I think a just God would make that trade, you know, like,
yeah. But unfortunately, the younger folks get to live on, and the frail have to suffer from this, right? That's the shitty part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But I do think Trump has to have it. He's just been in contact with so many people who've tested positive.
Well, someone I know who's actually a medical professional said after he tested negative that given when he had contact with the people who had it, and when he was tested, he was actually tested a little bit early for it. So it is more likely a false negative. So you could still, in theory, have it.
Damn.
Oh, so he actually tested negative.
Yeah, he tested negative. People were, waiting to see what the results were, and it came back negative.
Oh, I see. But didn't, like, Bolsonaro also claim he was negative, and then people really doubted?
Oh, yeah, he's actually positive, right?
Well, yes. It came out that he was positive, but then people had to delete their tweets because I think the official stance was he was negative. But it was, I think it was in a situation where so many people around him had already tested positive that it was almost impossible that he would be the one person negative.
See, this is a little bit morbid, but my first thought when you brought this up was like, I thought, oh, a whole bunch of people must have rushed to Google and Googled Bolsonaro age.
Yeah, yeah. He's like 64. I think he's like 64.
He's 64. Actually just Googled it, 64.
Yeah, yeah. Because so that's
he's,
what
he's
I
not
did.
Quite when in the in the kill zone, but he's close.
Well, hopefully coronavirus does its thing because he needs to go.
But see, this is my thing, my belief. Trump has the coronavirus, but he will never ever die from it because he just has that stupid luck. And I bet I think it's more likely that one of his children dies of it before he does, because he's somehow gonna survive. And I also thought that If Trump were like a character in a Shakespeare play, like Ivanka would die, and then that would be his punishment for his horrible life and for being a horrible person, is that his presidency would be defined by this utter catastrophe, and then his favorite child dies in his arms.
I don't know if justice is that poetic in the real world, Chris.
Yeah, it's Trump's gonna outlive us all.
I mean, I did think about, like, if he did get killed, if he was killed by Corona, that would completely change the narrative of Corona, right? Like, it would kind of become in the eyes of many people, like a good thing that happened.
Yeah.
Well, people already see it as a blessing in a lot of ways.
Because people are pissed at boomers, right? Like, it's super ageist, yeah. But that's the kind of narrative that's going on right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know if you met meant it like this, but I always thought it was like Mother Earth striking back, you know. It's because the last time that we had where we had like a cutdown of emissions to the level we need to keep life sustainable for us here was during the Great Recession. So, but you know, it also is kind of a preview of what it might take to get to that. So
you see the photos circulating of Venice like a week after quarantine.
Yeah, like the waters are all clear. Yep. And stuff.
It's like, right, fish swimming around. Have you ever been to Venice? That water is fucking filthy. It's really disgusting.
I have no interest in going to Venice.
It's super fucking gross. I saw people like take their shoes off and dip their feet in the canals. Oh. I'm like, holy shit.
I bet the Gowanus Canal is cleaner than that canal.
It's really gross, and it actually smells. There's a smell that emanates from the water.
Like sewage smell? Or kind of like...
Yeah, kind of a sewagey smell. Oh. Right? That's what's being... Right, yeah, it's really bad. So I was pretty shocked. I actually thought those photos were fake. I didn't think they were real. Because mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way it would clear up in a week like that, right? But apparently it's like fish are swimming in there now. So pretty wild. Like that. So that's one narrative, right? That the like Mother Nature is striking back, or like a preview of what it's like if we get rid of humanity. The other interesting narrative is the whole like, oh, people are like starting to warm up towards socialism now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of this.
It's like a societal reset.
Either that or fascism, you know, so.
Yeah, you see all the UBI stuff that happened today? Yang Gang?
I wonder if they're going to put Andrew Yang's face on the $1,000 bill.
They should do that. They really should.
And he should be wearing the Yang Gang hat and like a pair
the math
of
hat?
Pair of shades. Yeah. Oh no, the Yang Gang hat. You know, the pink hat.
No.
I think that was like the first iteration. It's just like neon pink hat with like a sun or something.
That's what I thought.
Like you mean for the Women's March?
No, you mean this like weird like retro 80s looking pink
hat?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sen, not the pussy hat. Oh. This is like a. I mean, I'm sure you can Google it. Maybe early Yang Gang hat.
I see it. Yeah, that'd be pink. A cool... It's got this like, you know, sunset kind of.
Yeah, yeah, that's 80s, what I'm talking about.
Like chill wave aesthetic to it.
Yeah, 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 that one.
Yeah. No, but that math hat is the hat he's known for now, right? So he's got to wear the
yeah,
math
hat. Yeah,
but
that hat sucks. It's just a blue hat that says math. So
I know, it's dumb.
I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, like Mother Earth striking back, giving the people an illness. That's the plot to Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. You guys ever seen that?
I did see that, yes. I admit
yeah,
I've
geostigma.
Seen that.
It's like geostigma.
But isn't like Final Fantasy VII all about that whole, like, you know, they're essentially eco-terrorists, right?
Yeah, I don't remember the story that well in the game, but, you know, I've seen that movie a few times, so...
You're not playing the Final Fantasy VII remake demo that everyone was kind of freaking out over right before Corona
Is it
hit?
Available for the computer?
No, it's on PS4 only.
Yeah, I don't have a PS4. Speaking of PlayStation, this would have been the perfect time, because, like... Like the game console that I most want to spend time on, because I missed out on it as a kid, is the N64. Wouldn't it be great if I had like an N64 and I could play like Zelda Ocarina of Time? Because I love A Link to the Past. That was like the game for me on the Super NES, which is the one console I was allowed to have as a kid. I never played Ocarina of Time, and I feel like that's a big void in my life. I need to play that game.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. I don't know how the Postal Service is doing, but I actually happen to have a spare N64 with that game in my office.
What?
So let's discuss after the pod. Maybe I can ship it to you.
Oh, man, that'd be so great. But then don't you need a TV? Or could I just hook it up with like an HDMI cable?
Yeah,
I have
the adapter for HDMI, actually, because I was going to hook it up at work to a monitor. So let's talk about that later.
Oh, I would be indebted to you for life if you could do that.
Have you guys been playing games at all during the quarantine?
Yeah, Sleeping Dogs, Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, are these like all console games that you're listing?
Yeah, PC console.
I'm talking about PC games.
I want to get a PS4 though, like eventually. But yeah, right now I only have my MacBook.
I tried gaming on a MacBook.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mark, who helped me build this PC for gaming, but it's just so much better. And you don't have a large selection on the Mac. They don't run very well. And
so one thing I did do this past weekend was we set up on the Plan A fan like Patreon Discord, which you can get into just by subscribing to our Patreon.
We
set up a game of five-player Bomberman. SNES emulator Bomberman that you can kind of log into just on your browser. So a bunch of us were just playing five player Bomberman, and it's kind of cool because you can like plug in a PS4 controller or Xbox controller to your MacBook or your PC and play with the controller. So we did some five player Bomberman, but we did some poker too. It was actually quite a bit of fun. Makes me wish, like, I don't know. One of the groups that I'm, like the WhatsApp groups I'm in, is just like my high school friends who used to play a lot of video games together. And they all have like fancy PCs. They play like, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff. And that's what they're spending all their time doing. Like they're already, you know, video game neckbeards who would do this anyway. So they have an extra excuse to do it. And I can't join in. But it was fun to play some Bomberman on the weekend with the guys here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of games are you playing?
I'm not playing any games. Like, the only games that I have access to are Sims 4 and Skyrim, which are, like, games that I played, like, years ago. So...
Oh, Skyrim. I've never played that. I should... I don't know if I have it.
That's at least 120 hours of content.
Right.
Yeah. I recently finished Dragon Age. Sen, you ever play Dragon Age?
No, but I know it's pretty similar, right?
Yeah, I didn't like it too much. It was too easy. I'm used to the more hard, like, relatively speaking, more hardcore, like, AD&D RPGs like Baldur's Gate, that series. And this one just seemed kind of dumb. Like auto-spell, like the mages would just cast auto-spell all the time. Nobody really dies unless all your party members die in the same battle, so you can always revive them. Granted, they have, like, an injury, but you can make almost infinite, bandages or whatever. So I didn't dig that. I didn't dig that too much.
If you guys like indie games, there's this website called itch.io, itch.io. I think this site's become famous for being like this big hub for like independent developer indie games that work on like web browser and on Mac and PC and stuff. Tons of free games. I think there's a lot of horror games. You're into like scary, like, you know, jump scare horror games. They have a huge section of those games. So you could spend just like infinite hours just like playing games on here. So, you know, this
scary like, games.
I know, but you know, they like online, like there's tons of free shit, you know, like it's, you can be occupied forever.
A lot of my friends were joking about downloading MapleStory again, which I was like,
MapleStory. Oh my God.
I remember when that was really popular. Wow. I never played it, but
yeah. I was like, no, I'm that never going back to MapleStory.
So many blobs.
I used to spend money on MapleStory, and it's like crazy.
Oh wow, you were really into it then. Buying the that's like early DLC, like early microtransaction. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Do you guys know about that game Animal Crossing? What is that game about?
It's just like a slice of life game, right? Like you basically, no, actually it's a game about capitalism because the whole game is basically about you being indebted to like this raccoon. Wait, I think he's a raccoon. But basically,
wait, are you a sharecropper or something?
Basically? I don't really know. You basically have to like take out,
or like a serf. You're like a serf,
yeah,
on a lord's manor.
Kind of, because like,
sounds like, okay.
You basically have to take out loans to like live where you live, and you have this, uh-huh, like raccoon like give you more loans so that you can upgrade your house.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but that's kind of true.
No, I brought it up because I saw this really funny, you know, the subreddit AITA, Am I the Asshole?
Yeah.
There was a guy, apparently, like, this game, like, it's kind of like one copy per person. It seems, mm-hmm, like you can't have multiple, like, saved games or characters on it. So he was saying that he was really into this game, but his girlfriend wanted to play it with him to, you know, spend more time with him. But he was like, oh, yeah, I know she's just going to mess around and she's going to sell all these exotic fruits that I've been hoarding. And he's like, am I wrong that I don't want her to, I want her to get her own copy? And it was just so funny because I had no idea what this game was about, but he was obviously so invested in it. And he's talking about, you know, I'm going to go pick my prized strawberries. I don't want to pick my strawberries. What are you talking about?
Well,
yeah, that game has an insane following, I have to say. Yeah, there's that article, right, about people, I think in Toronto, like, oh, right, because EB Games employees have to keep working during COVID, and okay, they were supposed to, like, have this insane, like, midnight launch for Animal Crossing on Friday or something like that, but it got canceled eventually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the new one's not even out.
People are really into.
Like, the new one that everybody's talking.
Yeah, I think it's this Friday is coming out.
Oh, wow.
But, yep, mm-hmm, it prints money. I don't know how, but it prints money.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I feel like all these celebrities like coming out with their diagnoses, like their IG paid sponsorships. It's like, it's so crazy. And then they're like telling all of us to like distance from each other, like socially. And I just think it's like really weird. Like I'm always like really suspect when like powerful people like tell regular everyday people to like distance themselves from one another. It just sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds like an attack on like organizing or something. I don't know.
So you're saying that celebrities are telling people to stay inside and all that?
Yeah, like not even celebrities, like just like influential people in general, like Like, it's everybody is saying, I mean, I guess, like, we, during a pandemic, we do have to do that. But it's just, like, I'm kind of, like, sus about, like, how many people are just saying the same thing, you know?
It's just bizarre because, you know, they're in a position of power, right? You know they're going to get, like, infinity billion likes and retweets and reshares of their message.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like they're like co-opting the message for some kind of agenda.
I mean, if it helps lessen the morons you saw out on like St. Patrick's Day and spring break, I mean, I guess that's a net good, but it is also like not a particularly radical thing to say and make a grand stand on. It seems like a rather safe position to take and you know, an easy way to fish for, you know, social media karma.
Yeah, it's a bit of that, right? I mean, the whole thing I've been saying, and I mean, this gets into maybe a darker space that we can talk about separately, but like this idea that this is like the first social media pandemic or epidemic, right? Like, it's the first one that happens at the same time as everyone having a phone where you can be informed about the shit all the time.
Ebola happened when everyone had a phone. And remember when Trump was remember when Ebola happened and there were like American missionaries or something in Africa and they were being flown back and Trump was tweeting like, you know, Obama, don't be stupid. Like, you know, send them back. You know, he said something like, you know, it's great when people go abroad to help, but, you know, there's a price to pay. So it was just worded really, really,
I don't really remember
weirdly.
That. I don't feel like that gripped people in the same way. I don't know.
It gripped people for like a week. It freaked people out because people are just like terrified of Ebola.
Yeah.
But it was definitely not at this level. It was not like some like a total event that just permeated every like cell of society.
Yeah. And the death rate was like way higher and stuff, right? So,
I mean, if you had it, I think. Yeah, but I'm really trying to think, what was the last event where the whole nation had to be united in a single effort? I got to go back to maybe like World War II. You know, obviously like the wars after, like the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Iraq War, whatever, it didn't really affect people's day-to-day lives because, you know, the army would just go there and most people were not in the military. Can you guys think of any other event that
9/11, but only for the States, really?
Yeah, but 9/11 was like it happened and people had to mourn, but it wasn't like the country had to ration goods to fight Al Qaeda kind of thing.
We're not rationing goods; we're just buying fucking toilet paper. Like, it's completely different.
But you know
dude.
What I mean? Like some kind of like, oh, you know, stay inside.
Yeah, everyone was affected, and you had to change your like your daily life course to deal with this thing. Right? Yeah, you're right. I've never had this happen in my lifetime. Like, you know.
Wait, by the way, are you guys like participating in like the rent strike? I don't know if that's like something that's happening in Canada, but it's happening in New York City, I think.
Not here.
Hey, if I can get in on not paying rent for a while, I'm all
yes,
for
do
that.
It. If everybody does it, like they can't say anything, you know.
That's rather ridiculous that you got to pay rent when there. I read this article. It was like 18% of Americans have either been laid off or had their hours significantly reduced.
18%, holy
damn.
Fuck!
Yeah, and it's like disproportionately crazy. Affects. Lower income people, you know, where like each marginal dollar is much more important to them. It's not like some guy with like you know, a $2 million portfolio had his hours at his firm reduced. We're not talking about that, you know. We're talking about people making like 50,000 or below kind of thing.
Yeah, as always, this bullshit affects like, you know, the poorest and the most destitute in proportionately, so it's pretty shitty. What's the rent strike? Is it just people choosing to just not pay rent and just squatting in the apartment? Like, is that basically it? Or is there some kind of like, is there like a rally happening in New York or something?
Well, I think it would be, I think it like it would be a neighborhood by neighborhood thing. But like on Twitter, it was like just multiple people tweeting out that like calling for everybody to not pay rent. But of course, like you would just have to do that among your own like area, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna start talking to my neighbors for once.
Yes.
See what they're up to. Yeah.
Honestly, like just never pay your rent again.
I thought they canceled evictions or is trying, they're trying to make evictions.
Until the end of April, Trump put a moratorium on foreclosures and evictions.
But rent is not like frozen.
So that's a little
not quite rent, you know. I mean, that's a much more dire situation than simply paying rent, but
yeah.
I just hope with like all these like added like benefits or whatever that they're not gonna like use it to take away stuff. Like I read that if they do give us like UBI, they might just take away like all of our other social safety nets.
I mean, yeah, that's always been the danger of UBI, right? I mean, UBI is not necessarily ideological in its raw form, but there are ways to make it ideological by, you know, like whether you preserve the other social safety net or take it away, etc. So you gotta pay attention.
Well, basically, yeah. I want everyone to be able to like do nothing, like literally do nothing and still be able to just like do whatever you want. Like I wish everyone had the privilege to do that. Like,
hey, we might get a small taste of that. Let's say like somehow Congress gets together and, you know, pulls their asses out of the ground. And let's say we do get pretty generous UBI for like the next 6 months, let's say, and rents are frozen and all sorts of other like safety net stuff is there.
Yeah.
And then people get used to it. And then I think that's what they're afraid of, that people will get too used to it. And then they'll realize that not only is it good, but it's also possible. Hey, you know, the economy didn't blow up. All this money that they've been paying for, you know, the F-22, whatever, that kind of money could easily be diverted to something like this, and then it'll become the new normal. And I think that's what they're really afraid of.
I mean, it's true. A lot of people are definitely asking when that $1.5 trillion stimulus, was it $1.5 trillion? When they're like, wait, that's like all student debt and a lot of other shit. How are you guys just fucking fabricating this money, right? So people are asking questions. Mm-hmm. It's definitely stirring up questions.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, money is printed and you could just you can just make as much of it as you want.
Yeah, which then proves that it's really not about the money, right? It's more about basically being able to control the population with things like debt, you know? That's the easiest way to control people is through debt. And you can socially engineer a society with debt, you know, like you saddle, I mean, that's kind of how it works with law school. You know, you saddle an idealistic student with lots of debt. You're going to have a lot fewer public defenders, a lot fewer public interest lawyers, a lot more big law firm lawyers, and that's probably what they want. Okay, now I think we're getting a bit dark. I think this is a good way to end this, hopefully, what has been a more lighter and fun podcast. And Philip and Sen, thanks for joining me and sharing what it's been like for you. And hey, listeners, if you want to share with us what you've been up to, why don't you send us an email at editor.planamag@gmail.com. Send us little stories about what you've been up to as we're all put on lockdown. And hey, we might read some of them on the air in our upcoming episodes. Hey, we all got lots of free time now. So as I said, all our bonus episodes will be free to listen to. This is the first free bonus episode. So many more to come. Thank you for joining us. Philip Sen, hope you have a great night.
You too.
Take care.
Good night.
All right. Bye, everyone.